Blog Talk Radio.
Brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind. Her love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I made a mess of the life I had with you, in search of something new. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me, and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind. Her love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me, and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind. A love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass.
All right. All right. Excuse me. This is the Real Talk for Real People show. And my name is Yomsuf Arif. And perhaps you're wondering, what is this show all about? It's the study of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, a complete study. No cross-contaminant version of it. We'll try to give you, when we do these studies, a bird's eye view. A critical analysis and our assessment. while crossing every T and dotting every I, to get to the bottom of the matter, the core of the matter. You can only have a complete version and not a cross-contaminated one. That would contaminate your outcome. And we pray that the Most High footsteps be our pathways in these studies. And we pray that you get the best out of these studies. That's the least we can do. And I know you're perhaps wondering who the we are making reference to, and rightfully so. But I'll wait for a minute upon that. I know some of you probably watched the funeral of Tyree Nichols in Memphis, Tennessee. And the, you know, I don't like funerals per se. And I don't like the sometimes venue where funerals are held in temples of worship with crosses and so on and so forth. That's why I don't attend them. But I was impressed by the information provided about Tyree Nichols, that he was a kind, humble man, a man that exercised common courtesy, even while the police officers were beating him to death. He was showing forth his character. You know, the funeral sort of made you fell in love with the brother. I ain't talking about no gay stuff neither. The kind of person he was, a humble man, a man that knew how to exercise common courtesy, a man that knew how to speak to his elders, people in charge. Unfortunately, these five people weren't the people he should have spoke to in that fashion. Maybe, or maybe he should have. I don't know. But I know this. At the end of the ordeal, he was dead. But he expressed his character. He wasn't no thug. The people that was beating on him were thugs, but he certainly wasn't. He was mild-mannered. He liked photography. He liked skateboarding. And they were telling lies on him by talking about he was going with somebody, and that was a lie. Like Marbury Purvis said, and that was a lie. You know, they always try to character assassinate you, don't they? Every lie you hear on Foolsbook, any other social media, as I said previously, had to be validated. And come to find out that the so-called interaction with one of their ex-wives was a total fabrication. And, you know, they got their team, too. And their team is putting out these fabrications. But praise God, we will get to the bottom of the matter just like we get to in the Most High studies. It was a solemn funeral. I liked his mother. She was a queen. How she expressed. She was quiet, mild-mannered, just like his brothers and sisters were. Same type character. Low-key, quiet, and mild-mannered, and Brother Rogers, his stepfather, who you could take a step out because he was with that boy for a long time. And mild-mannered and reasonable, but in total defense of his family. I was quite impressed. I hope you were impressed too. The kind of man we have fallen in love with, and not no gay stuff neither, but his characteristics. There's a whole lot of us should be. Mild-mannered, humble, respectful, sometimes even to our own demise. And I know that some were talking about acts, get an act in, the George Floyd Act. We've been asking for acts, all kind of acts. We've been acting all over the place in their court system, in their legal system. And even if they did get George Floyd Act in place, it'd still be some more acts to act along with those acts. Because in their system, their judicial system, they got all kind of acts. They got warehouses of acts they put in place for us. But here we're back in 1965 asking for a vote, asking for simple things. I like Al Sharpton when he said, I tell y'all this, You know, it's people died for y'all to get in those jobs y'all were in. You didn't get them by yourself. People marched and died for y'all to get in those jobs. You what audacity to beat that brother to death. How dare you? And I have to echo the same sentiments as Al Sharpton said. How dare you? What a shame. As I said before I introduce my fellow students, they have acts upon acts. They have warehouses of acts. They have laws upon laws and warehouses of laws. But for the most part, they didn't did anything for us other than ask for a new law. And if they wanted something done for us, it would have been done. And if we got a big and steel and bar, cuss, fuss, and fight to get something done to secure our safety and security, it ain't worth asking. I said, ask the one who's truly in charge, behind the scenes, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So let me introduce my friend and my sister, whom is my friend also. Sister Avia from New York City. Brother Cartier from New York City. And what do I know about them? All that I need to know. Which is basically this. One premises. They love the Most High with all their hearts, minds, souls, and strength, and their brothers and sisters as themselves. Now, if that's good enough for the Elohim, it's certainly good enough for me. Sister Avia, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, family, and all praises and glory to Yah. May Yah bless you all, you young too. You know, you were so right. That funeral was something else. I cried and cried, and I had wiped my eyes and started back crying. But another thing, like you said, Tyree was so well-mannered that he didn't holler at him. He said, please stop.
Mm-hmm.
And that really got to me.
Cold.
But people, family, if you don't speak y'all now, something is definitely wrong. Because you got to realize we are blessed to be here each and every moment of the day. And our sons, our fathers, our nephews, all could be where Tyree is right now. So I praise Yah, may Tyree rest in peace.
Praise Yah. You know what? That was beautifully spoken. What you just said was beautifully spoken. And I appreciate it. You know, you mentioned that you had got up several times and you were being emotional and tearful. I didn't do that. I got up several times because I got something in my eye and I didn't want my wife to have to see me get that stuff out of my eye. You know?
Oh, yeah, right.
No, truth be told, I was in the same boat you were in, sister.
Yes,
I ain't too
scared. You certainly wouldn't be a brother of mine if you didn't have no compassion and didn't do nothing. Everybody had to feel that.
Yeah, you had to. Are you just dead man walking?
Thank you
very much. Beautifully spoken. Brother Cartier, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot, brother. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, family. All praise to the Holy One of Israel. We got Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. May the Most High bless you. How you doing?
We're doing okay, brother.
Good, thanks. Yeah, I didn't watch the funeral. But we read about it yesterday. King Solomon said it's better to go in the house of mourning than the house of feast. Because you learn something from house of mourning, from funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Learned a lot about the brother Tyree Nichols. I don't like the fact that Al Sharpton and Bancrupt, they always try to capitalize on these type of situations.
Mm-hmm.
And they never really get anything done.
No.
For me, it's just for their fame and their publicity, for their accolade, they've been to this one and that one, and this one and that one. But what's the results? And you try to do what Martin Luther King said he shouldn't have done. Dr. Martin Luther King said, I fear that I led my people into a burning house. And mm-hmm. Al Sharpton and Ben Crump, they still try to lead us in a burning house.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you on that, Katya.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you on that.
Let these people mourn for their children without the publicity, without the politics. Let these people mourn.
Exactly. Exactly. Let the people mourn.
But that family, you could tell from their spirit, they're a humble family. And
mm-hmm.
you could tell his mother had an impact on her children because they mm-hmm. walk humbly as well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Praise God, Gautrill. Praise God.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If Cartrell's done with his commentary, I am, and I know Sister Abby is, and I suspect he's ready to put in some work like I am, and Sister Abby, and you too, fellow students. Cartrell, are you done with your commentaries?
No doubt. All praises.
Okay. Thank you, brother. All praise. Will you please turn to chapter 7 of Bereshit? That's the Hebrew word for the so-called word Genesis. Chapter 7.
Yeah, 17.
And it goes on to say, when Abram was 99 years old, the Elohim appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty Yah. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, humbled himself, and Yah talked with him because of his humility, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Not just us, many nations. He's just not simply the father of Hebrew Israelites. He's the father of many nations. Did you get that? No longer shall your name... Yeah, go ahead.
The fact that it mentions that he's 99 years old.
99
years old. And his wife is like 89.
Yeah.
It's like he's past the time for him having children.
Exactly.
But Most High promises, not only are you going to have children, but you're going to be the father of many nations. And only Yah could do that.
Only Yah. Old man and old woman. No longer shall your name be called Abram. Now it's time to call him by his name, which means the father of many. Your name shall be Abraham. Praise Yah. And he says, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations for a everlasting, perpetual, meaning covenant, to be Yah to you and your descendants after you. I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger right now, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting, perpetual, timeless possession. And I will be there, Elohim. And Yah said to Abraham.
So he got mm-hmm. kind of specific when he's talking about the land of Canaan.
Exactly.
Because he told Jacob that the land of Canaan would be his. And he told Abraham mm-hmm. the land of Canaan would be his.
Mm-hmm.
But you think people should be walking around with the name Abraham, as powerful as that name is?
No. No.
Because it has implications and ramifications. What does his name mean? Father of multitude of nations. And if you ain't the father of a multitude of nations, I don't know if your name should be Abraham. But anyway. Y'all so good. Can y'all hear me?
I'm still here.
What happened to y'all so good?
Think you got knocked off?
Maybe.
I think I heard him. Let me see if I could text him.
Sasavia, any progress? You heard anything? Wow. That's kind of crazy.
Brother Conchair?
Yeah, I'm here.
He just texted and said, hold on.
All right. She can't handle the truth. So he wants me to continue on. Yes.
Brother Contra, he said for you to go take over. To keep going.
No problem. So in the book of Bereshit, the 17th chapter, and he stopped at verse 8, where it says, I will give you and your offspring after you the land where you are traveling. All the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, I'll be their Elohim. In verse 9 it says, and Elohim said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offsprings after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your offsprings after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin. It shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Every male throughout your generations, he who is born in the house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring, he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised. My covenant shall be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. The uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. So that covenant in the foreskin of our flesh is circumcision, and it's known to be healthy and hygienically clean. So
that covenant in the foreskin of our flesh is circumcision.
It is a covenant that's supposed to be done in every generation. So, verse 15 says, Elohim says to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, she shall not call her name Sarai, for her name shall be called Sarah. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. Yes, I will bless her, and she will be a mother of nations. Kings and peoples will come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, will a child be born to him who is 100 years old? Will Sarah, who is 90 years old, give birth? Abraham said to Elohim, oh, that Ishmael might live before you.
God, can you hear me, brother?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, thank you, brother. Thank you for taking over. If you don't mind, I'd take back over. I'm sorry about the Swiss watch, but you know how it goes. You know, they try to get rid of Yom Suf. They think everything going to come to the end. It doesn't. And we could tell. Thank you very much, Contrail. Then Abraham fell on his face. Thank you, brother. And said, and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to Yah, oh, that Ishmael may live before you. which wasn't the case. I mean, he was thinking it was Ishmael, which in fact, you know, he, as a human being, he had second thoughts about it. You know, he said, surely this can't be the case here. Well, yeah, I saw my, so let me play Ishmael before the Elohim. And then Yah said, no, Sarah, your wife shall bear a son. And you should call him Isaac, which means he who lasts. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I've heard you. I've heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princesses. I will make him a great nation, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at the set time next year. Then he finished talking with him, and Yah went up from Abraham. Abraham took Ishmael, his son, all who were born in his house, all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin that very same day, as Yah had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very same day, Abraham was circumcised and his son Ishmael. And all the men of his house, born in the house, born in the house, or born, bought with money from a foreigner, stranger, were ex-circumcised with him. I mean, that's self-explanatory, the seriousness of the Most High for circumcision. And Father Abraham took it quite seriously and made the right application. Not only he, but his son, his 13-year-old son, and every male in that household was circumcised. Praise God and bless his holy name. I want to thank you again, Cottrell. And Cottrell?
No problem. Yes, sir.
Now you and Sister Abby, y'all have the mics.
I was just thinking, so the circumcision is like a contract being signed for that convent, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's a covenant, which is a contract. And how long does it last?
Forever.
Everlasting. But what does this remind you of? Does this remind you of anything? How about when...
The promises that he made?
No.
To make,
what? How about when the people of Shechem, the prince of Shechem, raped or took Joseph's sister or Jacob's daughter, Dinah, and slept with her? And they made a contract to circumcise themselves. And Simeon and Levi went in there and killed all of them.
Okay. That's a right
so I bring that up to let you know that when men get circumcised, they're vulnerable. And Abraham just attacked five kings, rescued his nephew Lot, and he made himself even more vulnerable, put his hands in the Most High by circumcising well, every male in the house, including his son and himself, he's 99 years old, which showed how much trust he had in the Most High. Because to do that, they made themselves vulnerable.
Right.
At least for a little while until they heal. It ain't like when you do it to a baby. You could do it to a baby on the eighth day, and the next day the baby is good. If you do that to a grown man or a grown child, or he's 13 or 99, it's going to hurt for a while.
Yeah. That's why even today now, you should do it while while they're babies, when they're small, born.
And that's what the Most High requires. On the eighth day, when you have a son, you got to be circumcised.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, Cartrell, if you're not done, and when you get done, you can proceed on, but I have to step away from the mic briefly. And I will be right back. So if you and Sister Abby are not done, continue on with your studies with the students. And then once you're done with that, continue on with the second segment. Will you, brother? Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. We're pretty much done. Let's have Yah. Got some thoughts on it before we move on?
No, you can move on. I'm good.
No, my brother.
The fact that Sarah is going to have a baby at 90 is a miracle. The fact that the covenant goes to her son Isaac, Most High already knew his name, shows that the Most High is in control of history and destiny, because he's about to make nations out of these people that we just read about, and they're our ancestors. And the fact that Abraham exists and Sarah exists means that Noah had to exist. Ishmael exists, that means that Noah had to exist, which means that what we're reading is not religious, but it's history. Even though the Creator, Almighty God, is involved, but he's dealing with nations and people. He ain't mentioned religion one time, did he?
Nope.
Okay, so how do you get religion out of this book and not history? Anyway, we're going to move on to the book of Ecclesiastes, written by our king, King Solomon, who uses the pen name Lemuel and Kohelet, the preacher man. So he's put on another hat to explore the world, creation, the spirit of human beings. And he got a diary. He written one down. He calls it the book of Ecclesiastes in book chapter 9, right?
That's it. Yep, that's it. Chapter 9.
Chapter 9, verse 1. All praise to the Holy One of Israel and our King, King Solomon. Verse 1 says, "For all this I lay to my heart, even to explore all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of Yah." That's important. Everybody's works, whatever we do, Yah knows. He sees. And he's putting it in the balance, whether you've done good or whether you've done wickedly. I know they use that at Christmas. Santa Claus want to know whether he was naughty or nice, but no, I know where they get it from. They get it from the Most High. So all your works in the hands of the Most High, what? Whether it is love or hate. You know if you hate somebody or you live hating people, man doesn't know it. All is before them. So everything you do is before Yah. All things come alike to all. There's even one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean, to the unclean, to him who sacrifices and to him who does not sacrifice. As is the good, so is the sinner. He who takes an oath, as he who fears an oath. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that there is one event to all. Yes, also, the heart of the sons of men is full of evil. Yes, we live in evil times, and men's hearts are full of evil. And madness is in their hearts. Yes, we can testify to that while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. So he's throwing everybody in there, the good, the sinner, the righteous man, the evil man. We all die. That's what he's saying. For to him who is joined with all the living, there is hope. As long as you live in, there's hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. What would you rather be, a dead lion or a living dog? That's why this science always gets to me. They say only the strong survive, right?
Yeah.
So my question to them is, what would you rather be, a dinosaur or a worm? Because ain't no dinosaurs around, are they? And I'm sure dinosaurs were stronger than worms. But guess who's still around?
Worms.
And worms are still around, right?
Yes, indeed.
So it's not the strong survive. It's just who the Most High choose to survive, right? He ain't choose the dinosaur, that's for sure. For this is an evil done in the sun that there is one event to all, yes. Also, the hearts of the Son of Men are full of evil and madness is in their heart while they live. True. And that they all go to the dead. For to him who is joined with all the living, there's hope. While you're alive, there's hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die. Don't y'all know that? You're going to die one day.
But the dead don't know anything. Yeah, the dead don't know nothing because they're dead. Neither do they have any more a reward, for their memory is forgotten. Also, their love, mm-hmm. their hatred, and their envy must perish long ago. So you carry all that baggage with you when you die, right? Whether you love or hate or you're envious or jealous or wicked or evil, carry all that with you when you die. And then it's no more. Neither do they any longer have a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Well, if you live the righteous life, King David said, your soul will praise Yah forever. So King Solomon may be a little off with his thinking insofar as what King David was thinking. He says, go your way, eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart. For Elohim has already accepted your work, one way or the other. Let your garments be always white, and don't let your head lack oil. Now, who puts oil on their head? We put oil on our head. We better put oil on our head. Huh? Live joyfully with the wife with whom you love all the days of your life, of vanity, which he has given you under the sun, all your days of vanity. But that is your portion in life, and in your labor, which you labor under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work, no plan, no knowledge, no wisdom in Sheol where you are going. Wow. King Solomon said, we're all going to hell.
None in the grave, that's it.
King Solomon said, we're all going to hell. This is a Curtis Mayfield record. He said in his record, if there's a hell below, we all going to go. I think King Solomon is saying the same thing. And I don't think King Solomon is correct. In verse 11, it says, return. I return, and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. So he knew about the rabbit and the hare, right? Who won the race, the rabbit or the hare? The rabbit or the turtle?
Yeah. Turtle.
The turtle won the race.
The turtle won the race.
So the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Because King David proved that with Goliath. Neither yet bread to the wise.
Hold on,
yet riches.
Minute, I can't hear. I'm sorry. But even with the, like when you saying the turtle is not the strong and nothing like that. When you said who won the rabbit or the turtle, you like made me think. The turtle used wisdom, didn't he? Some kind.
Yes.
Of,
he took his time and kept it moving.
Yes.
He never stopped.
Okay.
I just
was thinking right.
Keep it moving. But that was the moral of the story. The rabbit could run fast, boom, but now he's tired. He got to take a rest. He runs, he takes a rest, and he falls asleep. But the turtle is steady moving towards the finish line. And he makes it to the finish line because he's persistent. So the battle doesn't go to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happens to them all. So it doesn't matter how strong you are, you could lose the battle. It doesn't matter how fast you are, you could lose the race. It doesn't matter that you may not be eating. It doesn't matter that you're rich. You may not have understanding. Right? So he's saying all these things happen by chance. For man does not know his time. Do you know your beginning and your end? No. As the fish that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, even so are the sons of man snared in an evil time. When it falls suddenly on them. We could testify to that because we got all kind of evil stuff going on in the time we're living in, don't we?
Yes, indeed.
He says in verse 13, I've also seen wisdom under the sun in this way, and it seems great to me. There was a little city and a few men within it, and a great king came against it, besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it.
Now, poor wise man was found in it, and he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man.
Mm-hmm.
Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of the wise, heard and quiet, are better than the cry of him who rules among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good.
Yeah.
All praises. Powerful word. Powerful.
Because
you think about this old man, this wise old man, poor old wise man who saved the city from a great and mighty king, and yet the people forgot him. They didn't even hear what he said, but somehow, some way, he used his wisdom to beat this king.
Yes, indeed. Hallelujah.
Mm. So, what he's saying is basically this. Even in your great wisdom and understanding, you walk with her and you help people. Sometimes they just simply going to forget about you. They're not going to remember your exploits and helping them because they have no appreciation for wisdom and understanding. And so don't take it personally. King Solomon says, it's just the way it is sometimes. Just do what you do, as Cartier alluded to. Keep moving in the right direction. Keep it slow and steady. Keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. And find analysis. Men won't appreciate you. But the Elohim certainly. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
So if you go back to the first verse, that poor wise man that saved the city, guess what? He said, for all this, and I laid to my heart, even to explore all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of Elohim. Whether it is love or hatred, man does not know it. All is before them. So the people may not have appreciated this old wise man that saved them from this mighty king, but Yah certainly does.
Indeed.
That's all that matters. Really, because people are not going to appreciate you. And sometimes, as the king alluded to, don't look for no personal validation from someone else. Seek the validation from what you're doing from yourself in the Elohim. Because if you're looking for appreciation from people, I'm here to tell you, and I'm going to thank Katya and Sister Abiyah, you can too. People don't appreciate what you do for them. Some people, they not, man, you know, that's that. Who did that for y'all? Well, let me try to remember. Oh, was it Cotton? Was it Aviar? Was it Yumsu? Man, don't bank on that. Bank on the LOM. Find them out.
I always say, if it's not coming from your heart, you know, don't do it. If you're just doing something so you could be thought you're going to be remembered by, because you just shouldn't score through that within the scripture, that's not going to happen like that.
Exactly. Some folks just ain't going to appreciate it. And if you bank it on that, like you said, Sister Abby, don't bank on it.
That's right.
Gotcha. Okay. I want to thank you again, brother, for putting in extra work today. As far as the study sessions are concerned, both study sessions. I'm very appreciative and very grateful. And may the Most High bless you, brother. Thank you very much.
I ain't no thing. When you love what you do, it's not really work.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, go ahead, Katria.
When King Solomon is telling the story about this poor old man in this city that he saved, it makes me think of Abraham and the odds that were against him. He wasn't doing it for self-glory or trying to be a king. He had a mission to save his nephew, and he used wisdom and understanding to complete the job. He wasn't looking for accolades. He wasn't looking for the rewards. He was just looking to complete the mission, which he did.
Yes,
he was just doing the right thing, bottom line. As we all should learn from the rock.
And at the end, Yah, like you said, Yah sees it all. So that's what really counts.
No question.
For the rock and from the ditch we were dug. emulate that characteristic, those characteristics. Mm-hmm. Praise God and bless you. Katria, Sister Abia. It's been a good study show. It's been informative. We taught people how to work together as a team to bring the Most High message. We taught people about Abraham, his attitude, characteristic. We taught people about Ecclesiastes, that don't bank on what other folk gonna think of you, because they ain't. So if you're reliance on what other people gonna think about you, you're in the wrong business. Bank on what the Elohim gonna think of. Your reward comes from the Elohim. That's all that matters, because anything else doesn't mean anything. Praise God and bless the Holy Name. Katria, Sister Abby, I want to say some thanks, shalom, commentaries.
I'm just gonna say shalom and good night and seek Yah, praise Yah, and always obey Yah. Love you, family.
Yes, we love you.
All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael. You give us the opportunity to bring His word to our people, to the world. Just a reminder, this coming September 16th, we're gonna get together and give repentance to the Most High under the sun in Washington. And you should visit our website, Yah Will Gather. .us to participate and to get involved. Got to do something that pleases Yah. All praises. Shalom and good night.
Praise Yah. Thank you very much, Katria. Shalom and good night.
Shalom.
The love of strangers that say a silent prayer. We are the love of mothers that taught our hearts to care. We are the patience in the sacrifice of yesterday, the silence in between the breath of all the words we say. We are the proof of life our ancestors gave. We are the proof of love from the cradle to the grave. We are the best of struggles that we won't have to bear. We are the heir to all the prayers that float upon the air. Children that may never know our names. We are the peace of people that won't bow their heads in shame. We are. We walk upon the earth. We knock on heaven's door. We are the life that teems along the deepest ocean floor. We are.